Certainly is a great privilege to be here with you and to share in this wonderful time. First of all, I need to find out how you are going to pray regarding Joe's voice. Anyway, you don't often get the last word with Joe, so we're thankful for Family Four. It was great to hear him last night, and I hope that at least some people will get to hear them again today. Really, this is a great privilege to be here. Thank you for the opportunity. I'm humbled that you asked me. It was about 2 years ago that I ran into Pastor Dan and Kevin out at the Shepherd's Conference. Just happened to sit in the same row. There's so many men out there to that conference that rarely do you run into people that you know. About 4,000 men milling all over this campus, and we sat together. And even then, they asked me if I might be able and willing to come in a couple of years. And I said, I don't know. I'm pretty booked up on my speaking engagements. I don't know if I can fit it in or not. But it worked out well for us here. So we're thankful that we had the opportunity to come and share in this great time. This church means a lot to us. I think it was just about 19 years ago this time. I know it was in March that we came to Cedar Heights to Kennedy. And we had been on a long journey. We had left Waterloo several years before, kind of left behind family and friends and finances and everything, and cut everything loose and went to the land of fruit and nuts, to California. No offense to any Californians here. I don't know if there are any, but it was a scary thing, but we really believed that God was directing us there. And He blessed us, and we believe that after several years, for numerous reasons that I shared at that time with you folks, that God was directing us to go a different direction. And then, miraculously, in the providence of God, He brought some things together that we had a connection here, and we were able to come here. And you are my ordaining church, and I am forever grateful. We have a lot of great memories here. And as I think about just all the people and the promises and the praises and just all of the things that have gone on here, God is at work. And when we came here, it was so evident that that God was in your midst. And I'm thankful today that God gave us this opportunity. One thing is certain, Jesus Christ is building His church. We make all sorts of difficulties and problems, but He is moving forward. He is building His church. This morning I'm here to encourage you and to especially thank you, and for all of us to be challenged, not by me, but by God's Word. A familiar passage this morning, I want you to turn into the book of Joshua. Joshua is a wonderful book. Many of you, I'm sure, have memorized some of the passages that we will look at this morning. Joshua chapter 1. Really, my theme today is Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. But this morning, I believe that this passage helps us to be reminded that we are to revel in our past. The past is very, very important. We're to revel in our past, but we are to realize the future. The future is very important also. We are to make certain that we regard the Word of God and remember God's presence. Let's pray. Father, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You that we have the opportunity to gather together here as Your people. Thank You for Your Word that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Your Word that is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. I pray today that we might be challenged and encouraged by what You have to say to us through Your Word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts today would be acceptable in Your sight, our Lord, our Savior, and our Redeemer. Amen. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan River into the land I am about to give them to the Israelites. I will give you every place where you set your foot, as I promised Moses. Your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittite country, to the great sea on the west. No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. And then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. This passage causes us to identify with Joshua in this opening section of the book. He has an awesome responsibility. He is to take over from Moses, a legend. Usually in athletic circles, to have to take over from a legendary coach is a very difficult thing. Usually those first coaches don't last very long. It takes the second or the third one to be able to get things moving again. It's a difficult thing, and Joshua needed encouragement. The word there in the New Testament for courage, that root word, courage, means to put heart into, to cause that person to be strong and brave and fearless. And if anyone needed to have courage put into them, it was this man, Joshua. He had a huge responsibility ahead of him. It is emphasized over and over. In verse 6, be strong and courageous. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Verse 9, be strong and courageous. God wants him to understand you need to have heart put into you. You are taking on a huge responsibility here. You are following in the footsteps of a legend here. We know that you are going to have difficulties, but you can have strength here. And as God's people today, we all face challenges. God gives us opportunities to be challenged, to trust Him. And in varying degrees, we have spiritual responsibilities coming our way in leadership forms, whether it's in the home, whether it's in the workplace, in your neighborhoods. God gives us opportunities to be leaders, to trust Him, to carry out ministry, to be ambassadors for Him. And you and I have a calling, and whatever that calling is, we need these wonderful, encouraging words that God gave to Joshua. These words are for us also. This is God's chosen leader here now. And it is so important, as Moses is emphasized here, that we need to understand the past. And as I put a picture here of Mount Rushmore, back in the early 20th century, a man named Gutzon Borglund had a vision. He looked at that granite mountain, and with an artist's eye, he saw something that no one else could see. He had an idea to cause people to be able to reflect on the past of our country. And for 14 years, men hung over the valley floor on ropes, suspended using dynamite and all sorts of huge power tools, blowing things up, chiseling and jackhammering. And finally, we have this wonderful national monument that reminds us of our past, four of our founding fathers, four of our great presidents, Washington, Jefferson, Roosevelt, and Lincoln, men who knew what this country could do. And we look back and we are reminded that God has blessed us in so many different ways. He has given us the opportunities to look back. And God really wants us to revel in our past. He really does. He wants us to look back and be reminded. And that is what initially our text causes us to do. Moses' name is mentioned here right off the bat. After the death of Moses, a servant of the Lord said to Joshua, Moses' aide, Moses, my servant is dead. Now then, you and all these people get ready to cross the Jordan. Go into the land that I'm about to give you. We know that leadership always is in a state of flux. Even great godly leaders like Moses fade off the scene. And God is calling for new leadership to come along and new beginnings and new generations. And we know that with the exception of Joshua and Caleb, the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness and those generations died out. And Joshua and Caleb now have leadership responsibilities. And Joshua is commissioned to bring this generation, this new generation, into the land here. And God is reminding him about Moses here. You're going to have to follow in his footsteps. Now, over the grave of John Wesley, the great English revivalist back in the 1700s, the founder of Methodism, there's a plaque over his grave that says, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. It was God who had chosen Joshua, and everyone in Israel knew that he was their new leader. Now, if you turn back just a few pages to Deuteronomy chapter 31, just for a moment, and the account there of how Moses is publicly passing the mantle of leadership to Joshua. Deuteronomy 31, verse 6. To the children of Israel, he said, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. And then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Moses could say that because of all that God had done through him. In spite of his reluctance to do what God wanted him to do, he made all those excuses. But finally, God answered every one of those excuses and he said, okay, I will go. He had seen everything. He had seen the burning bush. He had seen the 10 plagues. He had seen God provide the 10 commandments. He had seen the Red Sea part and the Egyptian army be swallowed up in the waters. Moses had seen and experienced God in a most intimate and unique way. And he would tell Joshua here that you have the same God. In a sense, he is saying Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. What he has done for me, he will do for you if you remain faithful. There is no reason for discouragement. You're celebrating today by looking back at what God has done in your midst in these past 50 years. Again, as we heard last night, there's a few of you that were around 50 years ago. God's faithfulness has been passed down from one generation to another. And the past is so important. We do learn from our past. We are celebrating our past, and that is important. But you know, it's important that we don't live in the past. The past is very beneficial as we look back at God's faithfulness. We have to maintain continuity. We have to move forward, building on the past and moving into the future. Oswald Sanders wrote in his book, Spiritual Leadership, a work originated by God and conducted on spiritual principles will surmount the shock of change of leadership and indeed will probably thrive better as a result. But wise leadership does not abandon the past. I commend your leadership here for focusing on what God has done in the past. Moses' name is mentioned 50 plus times throughout the book of Joshua. And that's evidence of Joshua's deep respect for Moses. He continued to look back and be reminded, wow, I know this is a hard time right now. This is a difficult thing I'm going through. But I know what God did for Moses. I remember what he has told me about God's faithfulness. I saw God's evidence of working back there. And I can go forward because I know it's the same God that you are providing for me the same as you have done for your servant Moses. Again, we have been able over and over and over again to revel in God's past personally. Again, we came to you after a two-year stint in California where we really had left totally on faith, had no idea what God would do through that experience. And again, family and finances and future were on the line. And even family members were saying to me, what are you doing? Giving up a good job and your house and really, where's this going anyway? But again, as we came here, we saw how God provided as He led us step by step. And we have been able to look back to this situation in our lives and now in several other situations, how God has directed us. We don't live back there, but when we get to some difficult times, we look back. Oh, you know, God didn't let us down there. He's never let us down. We can be encouraged because of that. And we can look back, but it is so important that we also look forward. We've got to realize the future. God has given Joshua a task to perform here. He gives Joshua promises to go along with the responsibilities. Notice in verses 3 through 6, just a few words that remind us of. You can look back at Moses and his faithfulness, but now remember, we're going forward now. Verse 3, I will give you every place. Verse 4, your territory will extend from the desert to Lebanon. Verse 5, no one will be able to stand up against you. Verse 6, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. It hadn't happened yet, but he said, you know what? It is going to happen. You need to look forward now. Remember what God has done for Moses, but now let's get moving forward here. Now, God told Abraham from the very beginning that he would have a land and seed and blessing if Israel obeyed the Lord. God promised that he would defeat those nations in their efforts, in the warfare that would take place. Israel would be victorious. But he warned the people, don't compromise now. The enemy is dangerous here. Many things he said, don't intermarry with them, and when I tell you to destroy them, you must destroy them. You might win a war or a battle if you go out on your own, but if you deviate from what I tell you to do, if you go off on your own path, you are in dangerous territory. You're going to lose the ultimate victory. You will be defeated, but if you go my way, if you listen to me, you will be victorious. He starts with that clear command, be strong and courageous. This imperative that God issues to Joshua. This call to courageous, obedient leadership is based on the absolute certainty of God's promises. You can count on it. It's better than the bank, I'll tell you that. The grounds for whatever courage Joshua had wasn't within him, but it was all within God's promises. He is going to be with Joshua. He is going to be with his people. He is going to lead them in battle. And we know many miraculous things that happened as they overtook the land. Israel will possess the land. God will keep his promise that he gave to Abraham clear back in Genesis chapters 12 and 15. Turn to the end of Joshua for a moment, chapter 23. 23:14. Joshua is speaking to the leaders of the nation at the end of his life before he's about to die here. Verse 14. Now I'm about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed. Do you believe that? Amen. Isn't that something? We can count. If it happened there, it will happen today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. God is the same God. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. You can count on Him. We can look forward to the future with excitement. And as part of God's fulfilling His promises, Joshua was called to exercise faith through this strong and courageous leadership. The divine sovereignty that is expressed here is always coupled with the human response. God first speaks the word of promise about who He is and what He'll do, and then He encourages us as His servants to believe and to move forward and to carry it out, to step out, to trust, and to obey. He wasn't to use these guaranteed certainties here as a reason to just, well, I can just kick back now and, okay, God's going to do it. I don't have to do anything. No, Joshua has to move forward and do a lot, but he does it in God's strength. You and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. God has given each of us an inheritance individually. Corporately as a church, it's an inheritance that is imperishable and undefiled and that will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Are you living in light of that inheritance? The promises of God's victory and His present activity are fantastic, but that eternal inheritance should keep us motivated. Keeping the long view, the big picture here, keeping the goal in mind. The finish line, folks, is not here on earth. The finish line is in heaven. And you know that statement that someone made, some people think that we are in the land of the living, heading to the land of the dying. That's absolutely wrong. We're in the land of the dying, heading to the land of the living. And I'm thankful for that. We're all getting older. And you know what? Even though this outward man is fading away, we don't have to worry about that because God is preparing a place for us. So we revel in the past, but we don't live in the past. We learn from the past, but we don't let the past put us in bondage. But we look forward, and that's why Paul tells us to forget those things that are behind and to reach forth into those things that are before. I press towards the mark for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. The past is important, but we don't live there, and we move forward in the strength that God provides for us. Verse 7, be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, it'd be one thing to say to a leader, well, be strong and courageous here. But if you didn't enable the person to have the strength, It'd be hopeless. It'd be helpless. Joshua's strength and courage was going to come from the Word of God. I'm thankful that Cedar Heights Baptist Church continues to remain focused on the Word of God. Any church that begins to stray from the foundation of the Word of God is on shaky ground and will eventually disintegrate. Well, there might be people coming inside some doors and meeting together, but there will be no worship of the true and living God. Moses gave this same counsel to the entire nation back to in Deuteronomy chapter 11, almost word for word. But now God is applying this specifically here to Joshua. What's all this law that he is talking about in verse 7? The book of the law mentioned in verse 8. Well, we know that Moses here, during the time of his life and looking back and the wilderness wanderings, was compiling a history of God's people. And when God saw fit to bring that to a close, as Moses completed his writing, we had that first five books of the law, the Pentateuch, if you will. It's the greatest legacy that Moses could have left any successor, and fortunately he has left it for us. Deuteronomy 31, what we looked at briefly, talks about Moses completing the book and committing it to the care of the priest, but it wasn't enough that the priest carried it around and protected it. The book itself wasn't to be worshipped. The book was a means to be connected with the living and true God. You've got to stay connected to God through His love letter to us, he says to Joshua. He says that to each and every one of us also. Meditate. The Hebrew word for meditate is rather interesting. It means to mutter. Kind of in a sense to mutter under our breath. To talk to ourselves. Now, not just, I got a friend that he's a plumber, a heating and air conditioning guy, and he's worked on some of my furnaces, and he's down there talking to himself about the furnace, and it's as if the furnace is the person, and that's not what we're talking about here. But we are to meditate and kind of talk to ourselves about the Scripture. The Scripture needs to be at our very heart, and no matter what we are doing, the Scripture flows through us, and the Jewish people, even today at the Wailing Wall in Jerusalem, they can be seen repeating scriptures to the Lord. And to themselves, the Jewish people love today to do that and even to discuss the scriptures together. And that explains this warning here to Joshua here in verse 8. Don't let that book of the law depart out of your mouth here. Make sure that that is central to your very being. As the leader, you have got to have the Word of God so integrated into your life that everything that you do emanates from those principles. So there's in a sense that we are to, in a sense, engage in dialogue with our Bibles. The image of soaking up the Scriptures here, intense, regular, personal interaction with the Word of God. Not just to gain information. Not just to say, wow, I've spent my 10 minutes, I read the daily Bible verse for the day or one chapter, and it's not time. The most important thing to ask ourselves, have we met with God today? And is it a meeting with God that continues throughout the day, no matter what you do, no matter where you are? We are to meditate on the Scriptures. We can choose to set out on our own, but if we do, we are in great danger. It's a picture of what the proverb says, chapter 2. My son, if you accept my words and store up my commands within you, oh, if you will cry out for discernment, if you will seek for it as for hidden treasure, searching for it as silver. Oh, if you will have that attitude, then you will understand the will of God. There are some famous words by George MacDonald. He's a Scottish novelist and Christian apologist. He said, in whatever a man does without God, he must fail miserably or succeed more miserably. It is possible to know physical and material success, yet be an absolute failure spiritually. Meditating on the Scriptures will keep us the foundation that we absolutely need. We will evaluate our motives. Our decision-making will be dominated by what God has to say and not on our own whims. Are we totally committed to God and His Word and His will and His way and whatever action and choice we have to make? Am I relying on the Spirit of God to empower me, to lead me? Am I trusting my own resources? If I do, I know I'll be in terrible shape. Simply, that Proverbs 3, to trust in the Lord with all of our heart and not lean on our own understanding. In all of our ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct our paths. He will make our paths straight. That's the picture that we have as we meditate on the Scriptures. He will lead us. He will keep us on the right path. God has given us those assurances. As I remember back in our experience here, in 1991, my dad died, and my mother asked me to do his funeral. And I wanted to say yes, but I knew it was impossible. And you people prayed, and I relied on God's Word. I was a wreck before the service. I was a wreck after the service. But God carried me through the service. And many of you were there, and you prayed. It was God's promises, His principles. It was His people that enabled me to be able to do that. And I give praise to Him for that. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And there's one more encouragement that God gives to Joshua in verse 9. And it is the encouragement of a direct command here. And He says, kind of in a rhetorical question, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. He will never leave us nor forsake us. Hebrews 13:5, we can count on that. Not only in the Old Testament, it's in the New Testament. God's presence is so evident. The commands that God gives us out of His Word are always His enablements. He won't promise something that He won't enable us to do, and He enables us through His presence. God is with us. I love the words of the angel Gabriel to Mary when he appeared to her and told her about how God wanted to give birth to the Savior of the world through her. And she said, a logical question, how can this be since I have not known a man? This is impossible. How can this be? How can an unwed teenage virgin girl get pregnant? And the angel's response is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the highest will overshadow you. The very word that God speaks has in it the power for its fulfillment. Our call is to trust God's work and to walk in obedience to it because He will go with us. He is always with us. We can count on that. God has been with this church. He will continue to be with this church if you continue to stay with God's plan, with His principles regarding His Word in whatever you do. The Apostle Paul says in a beautiful way, therefore, my dear friends, as you have always obeyed, not only in my presence, but now much more in my absence, continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act according to His good purpose. That is the command and the promise of fulfillment and the reminder again that God walks through us, even through the valley of the shadow of death. I will be with you. You can count on that. We can move forward. We can look back and be reminded of what God has done and His faithfulness. And we can look forward and realize the future and that He is leading us and guiding us. And we have God's Word, His principles that enable us. And amazingly, He is with us always. Our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, which we have from God. We are not our own. We've been bought with a price. And therefore, we can move forward. God has made the identical promise to His people today in the New Testament. Remember, as Matthew opens, Emmanuel, God with us. And Matthew concludes, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Hebrews 13:5 again, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." We can keep moving forward because God is going with us. There's an exciting future out there. What a blessing it is to be involved. If God is for us, who can be against us? No opposition that God can't take us through. God reaffirmed those promises century after century. He started with Abraham back in Genesis, and He continues to give us those promises today. God's presence is so powerful. Again, just recently, almost 4 years ago now, God moved us from one ministry to another. Had no clue what He was going to do. Miraculously. I shouldn't say that even anymore. I should just say, God's going to do it. He put us where He wanted us. And we're so thankful that we can trust Him in those kinds of situations. This church has been faithful. Just in closing, such an encouragement to me. About a year ago, another pastor and I from our church went out to California to meet with some other pastors about a Russian ministry. One of the pastors, big, tall, lanky guy, got to talking with him, and we were sharing just a little bit of background. I said something about Iowa, and he says, "Iowa? Oh, yeah, I'm from Iowa, and I went to school." Where'd you go to school? You probably wouldn't know what. Northern Iowa. Yeah, yes, I do know Northern Iowa. I said, "Where did you go to the church?" "Well, there's a church that had a campus ministry up there." "Really? I bet I know where that is." "And was it Cedar Heights Baptist Church?" "Absolutely it was." Some of you might remember a big, tall, thin guy named Rick Hoppe. Anybody remember Rick Hoppe? Pastoring out in California now. Now I've talked to him a couple times on the phone. And this church has sent out people over and over in lots of different ways. Many people in ministry. And God is going to continue to do that as you remain faithful, reveling in the past, realizing the future, regarding God's Word, and remembering God's presence. And I thank You for Your faithfulness. Let's pray. Thank You, Father, for the opportunity today to just be reminded of Your goodness and Your faithfulness and for Your love to us. Thank You for the encouragement that we have as we spend time together as Your people. And I do thank You for this church and for all that You've done through it. And may You continue to strengthen each one as they keep their eyes fixed upon You, the author and finisher of their faith. And may You bless them as they move forward and spread the word through many different venues in this community and throughout the world. May You enable them and strengthen them and bless them. We'll thank You for what You will do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be dismissed. Thank you.